So, Steven, what's your favorite pie? Or should I say, what's the pie you hate the most?
I don't know about what pie I hate the most, but I tend to like fruit pie. So, like, you know, apple pie, strawberry pie. I was thinking, this is something I actually thought in preparing for this. What's the difference between a peach pie and a peach cobbler? Like, where's the line?
Well, like a cobbler is like a crumbly stuff.
Oh, I guess
like,
so.
It's like crumbly and like mixed in.
Mm.
It's cobbled together.
You can eat one for breakfast and it's okay. I think you have a cobbler for breakfast.
You can have a pie for breakfast.
If you eat pie for breakfast, your family kind of wonders if everything's okay.
No, but that's what a quiche is a breakfast pie.
Oh, but that's got cheese and stuff. And this is so confusing.
You could have savory pie. Savory pie is amazing. Meat pies.
Meat pie?
Cheese pie, quiche. Love it. I'm much more of like a squishy pie person. Like I like key lime pie and like lemon meringue pie.
Is cheesecake a pie? I mean, technically?
No, because cheesecake only has the pie part at the bottom, doesn't it? Like, isn't there only crust at the bottom of cheesecake?
Oh, yeah. So
it doesn't go all the way around.
It's a convertible pie.
Three side starch is pie.
Okay. Welcome to our cooking show.
We should write an office cookbook. That would be awesome.
Just pies and chili all the way down.
We could just make a chili pie.
Mmm.
See, that's
everyone's
like a meat pie.
Everyone's going to get to know each other in the pot.
That's right. Turtle pie. There's so many opportunities.
Stapler and jello pie.
Mm-hmm. Pam's lasagna that's only the recipe off the box.
Ah, yes.
There's so much. Angela's brownies with walnuts and without.
It's true. Got to be prepared either way.
Anyway, we are talking about an episode about a bus, which has nothing to do with baking, which is season 9, episode 4, Work Bus, originally airing October 18th, 2012.
And directed by Bryan Cranston.
Oh.
Which is cool.
That is cool.
Yeah. I bet that was a fun week because he seems awesome. I mean, I love all of his work, but he seems like somebody who like really knows what he's doing, like in the professional sense. So I'd imagine this was a fun episode to do because of him and the fact that, you know, it's on a bus.
Yeah, I do love this episode for everyone being crammed on the bus, but I do not like this cold open. I don't find it very funny.
No. So apparently they've had a softball team that we just didn't know anything about.
All right, everybody. Great season of softball. I'm super proud of you guys.
Although I guess Daryl's talked about softball in the past. He only has another season left in these knees, as you
That's
know.
That's right.
But that's a great quote. Andy has made a video at the end of the season, but he's trying to make a fail video. And instead of people like falling down or doing things they're supposed to do in fail videos, he's just making like fart noises with his mouth over people running around. It's very bad.
Andy Bernard presents Summer Softball Epic Fails. Fail. Fail.
That's me.
Fail.
Is this like a blooper reel?
A blooper reel? What is this, 2005? It looked like Bob Saget. Fail!
And it turns out the real fail was Andy that Jim caught on video where he tries to pick up the water cooler like a championship moment would where like they dump water on themselves and instead he falls over and dumps water on himself.
This, I don't like this cold open either because the whole thing just screams Michael Scott to me. Like, you could just cut Andy out and paste Michael Scott in, and it still works, and I don't like it for that.
For some reason, the Michael things that Andy does, I don't like them as much as when I like when Michael did them. I mean, it's definitely just the style and the actor and the inflection and everything makes it different, but I don't find Andy's cringy antics as funny as I found Michael's to be.
Yeah, totally agree. There's even one a little bit later that we'll get to once everyone comes in for the day. But I mean, I think this is just building more towards like Andy wanting internet fame or like to be a meme or be popular somehow online, trying to tap into that culture. And it just falls a little flat for me.
So the main part of this episode gets kicked off with Toby is worried about the safety of the building again. We saw this before when he had those radon test kits that Michael thought were ant traps or those little things that moo.
You're the silent killer.
That's such a good quote.
Or he's the killer who silences.
See, Toby's a Scranton Strangler. Okay. We never really dove into that, did we? But maybe we will in the near future. So Toby being worried about the building, he was also worried about the building when they were trying to figure out what to do with the surplus. He wanted the building tested again. That's what he wanted to spend the surplus money on. So finally, he is out. He's testing for EMF. And now that Dwight is the building owner, Dwight would be the one on the hook for all of these improvements that need to be made, apparently, because of exposed wires. Is that what's going on?
Yeah, it's like uninsulated wires or bunches of wires somehow. And like, I mean, I'm not an electrician. Surprise. But I feel like a couple of things. One, uninsulated wiring is bad, but some of the places where this red tape are doesn't make any sense for wires to be, but that's fine. Dwight does not want a big deal to be made out of this. As we've seen before, Dwight wants to operate this building, which he owns, at maximum profit. And that means cutting costs where he can, not undertaking this major repair. I mean, just looking at where the red tape is, just watch this episode with that in mind. I mean, they're cutting into every wall. They're cutting into the floor. They're doing a lot of work. And Andy comes in to the middle of this.
Okay, I'm just walking into this. You might understand there's a beehive in the wall.
You think I have a machine for measuring beehives?
I was just asking a question, Toby. How are you not murdered every hour?
But again, trying to cram Andy into the Michael mold here a little bit more than I like to see, I think.
Yeah, I kind of wish they treated him like his own manager, which I think we saw in the beginning of his managerial stay. But now this like part two of Andy as manager, it is getting so much more Michael. Like every single episode, there's something else.
Yeah, definitely.
So we also have in parallel, we see in the beginning of this episode, Jim is very thankful that Pam was pretty cool about the whole secret job thing. And he's falling all over himself to do nice things for her as like a thank you for understanding.
Yeah.
And we see that as like the main catalyst here in the episode, in that Pam just mentions in the office when everyone is discussing the possibility of a week off because of all the work that Dwight would have to do. She just casually says, oh, a week off would be nice.
Week off. That'd be great.
That's all Jim needed, really, to motivate him to now build this elaborate scheme in order to get Dwight to close the building for a week so that Pam can have a week off.
Yeah, Jim is overcompensating here in a big way. And it's not like I tried to like put my finger on exactly what he's doing. I don't think it's like walking around on eggshells. Like, according to Jim, Pam is cool with this. And so I don't think he sees himself as like trying not to rock the boat any or say anything that's going to make her upset. But he's like overcompensating with good for the bad that he knows he did. And it really drives Jim throughout this episode. Yeah, in the beginning, he's just rushing to open doors and like it's a little cheesy and really obvious. But like as the episode goes on, he really starts making decisions out of this place that aren't good decisions. And we'll see his interaction with Dwight in a few minutes really be driven by whatever this is going on within Jim.
Last week, I finally told Pam about the other job I took in Philly, the side job. And she was so incredibly cool about it. And now I just want to do something huge for her. Like if we were in some biker bar and she mouthed off to some bikers and they came lumbering over and I was like, wham, got to go through me first.
To me, it's just he feels incredibly guilty for not having told her. Like this is the first secret that he's kept from her, as we saw before, like the in the episode about Roy's wedding, how they were discussing how like they know everything about each other, even like the secret gifts that they tried to give each other that didn't work out. Like they know everything. And this was a big thing that Jim was keeping secret. And the idea of being able to now possibly give Pam this gift of this massive time off is something he wants to do. I do really like how he goes about his step one is he's going to convince Dwight that there's some sort of danger. And how he does this is he takes a bag of popcorn and pops like one kernel.
What are you doing?
Get my wife a week off from work.
You pop one kernel.
Awesome, right?
And hides it underneath Dwight's desk, right where there's an X, or he might have even put an X up there.
I think he put the X there.
Yeah, I think so too. And Dwight starts to panic about his ability to bear children, because as Jim lays the groundwork of listing all of the things that could go wrong with the human body if you're exposed to all this EMF.
Side effects of EMF include headaches.
Had them all my life.
Breast pain.
No nobbies, no probbies. Nice try, Jim.
Oof. Infertility.
And infertility is one of them. And this is exactly what's been on Dwight's mind. So unbeknownst to Jim, it plays directly into Dwight's fears.
Yeah, there's sort of an interesting balance here, right? That Jim doesn't know that Dwight has been consumed by this. And he pokes the exactly the wrong button with all of this. And it's ultimately what gets Dwight to agree to do the repair. But instead of a week off, Dwight turns out has to provide alternative working space. But while Dwight and Andy are talking about this in Andy's office, Jim is like laying out this grand week that he's going to give Pam. Like they're going to go up to the lake, just them and the kids.
I'm going to drive you up to the lake, give you a whole week on the water, just you, me, and the kids.
Oh, can we stop by that pie stand on the way?
Do you mean Laverne's Pies Tires Fixed also? Yes, we will be doing that, and we'll be getting a dozen.
A dozen different pies? Because that means rhubarb.
Why would you say that? I meant 4 apple, 4 blueberry, 2 cherry, 1 peach, 1 chocolate. I thought that was implied.
But then it comes out that, well, they're not getting the week off. They're going to end up working in Dwight's alternative arrangement.
Roll into the future with WorkBus. Say goodbye to wasteful buildings. These days, a mobile office isn't just for hotshot politicians. Now anyone can rent a work bus. If you've got a parking lot, a workspace is just a phone call away. In this age of belt tightening and less empowered workers, a work bus is how tomorrow gets things done.
It's so funny to me that it's a bus and there's all these rolly chairs that plays in later when the bus starts moving. Mm-hmm. But they are all so crammed in there. There's a whole bunch of like just montage-y footage of people falling all over each other. Like someone needs to stretch and they're in someone's way and you're talking so loud because you're right on top of each other. Angela opens up a little compartment to get some paper and it falls everywhere, knocking over a coffee onto Pam. It's just absolute chaos with all of them crammed into this bus.
6 after 8, no?
And it's $23.99 a case.
Yes.
Oh,
sorry. Sorry. Lose weight. I'm trying. Sorry.
Jim, after all this kind of unfolds, like it's falling apart around him, and Jim has gone from the hero, not only for Pam, but everybody else in the office, to he's the reason we're on this bus because he pushed Dwight into actually doing these repairs. Jim wants Dwight to like take the bus somewhere. Like, let's go get pie. But you know, we're on a bus, it moves. We don't have to stay here in the parking lot. And everyone sort of joins in, and Dwight just refuses to do it. He doesn't want to spend the money. And Jim invokes Andy. He says, Andy, you're the boss. We should go. And Andy agrees after all the chanting for pies. And so the friction between Dwight and Jim sort of starts here, where to get done what he wants to get done for Pam, Dwight has to suffer. And it's sort of the wedge between these characters for the rest of the episode.
Yeah, you can really see that Dwight is hurting. And not only does the audience see that, but Pam starts to see that.
Yeah.
And we have noticed, like, we've known about their relationship being close from pretty early on in the series. We saw, like, their relationship building and how they help each other and it growing. And this is one of those points where Pam's kind of the only one really noticing Dwight and that there's something up with him. And she tries to tell Jim that, like, maybe this isn't worth pushing. Like, she's noticing the hurt in Dwight, and Jim is completely blind to it because he's so focused on getting this win for Pam.
Yeah.
I like that the work bus has, like, brought out the relationship between the three of them like that. And ultimately, Jim has to kind of take a moment and address some of the things with Dwight. Well, because Dwight refuses to drive the bus any further because of gas reasons. But he's forced by Pam to fix things because Dwight just, he's pushed too far. He's a man pushed too far. And he totally shuts down and ends up climbing on top of the bus because Jim is just constantly pushing to have Dwight do more, more, more. Well, go fill up the tank with gas. I don't care if it's going to cost more. Like, drive the extra mile. And then you have the added tension of the pie shop closing. Like, there's so much going on in this work bus situation beyond just, like, a bunch of workers and, like, funny things happening because they're all crammed into one space. We have, like, these hidden tensions of these characters that, like, these burdens that a lot of these characters have been carrying around for quite a while now. We've been seeing a lot of this stuff brewing, and it's all, like, coming out at the work bus because now it's like you're forced into this tiny space and you can't keep it hidden anymore. And Dwight's problems and Jim and Pam's problems aren't the only ones. We also have the Nellie Andy stuff. And now Aaron's getting involved, which we will get into this whole adoption thing that happens here. So there's a lot of high emotions brewing on the work bus.
Yeah, the work bus is a pressure cooker. Yes. More than anything else, right? Like, and that's super relatable. You know, you're crammed in a car with your family for 10 hours going to vacation. Someone's going to snap eventually. And In this case, it is Dwight, and Jim pushes too hard. He even tells Pam at one point, he's like, no, I'm going to keep pushing. Like, you know, we're going to do this.
Are you kidding me? Dwight, come on.
Hey, honey, I don't think we should push him.
Oh, no, I'm going to push him. You know why? Because you're getting a pie. Why? Because you deserve it. And what is he doing? He's trying to drive us all around the countryside looking for gas because he knows we won't get there. Is that what we want?
No!
Stop ordering me around, Jim.
What do we want?
Pies!
When do we want it?
Pies!
You know, Pam wants Jim to back off, and Jim doesn't, and it sort of leads in this big scene where they're on the roof of the bus, and Dwight tells Jim about the baby and how he thought he was going to be a father, and he had become really attached to the idea. And then when it didn't happen, you know, he was really hurt. And Jim's prank, he basically hit that button directly.
Why are you such a jerk? I'm trying to do something for my wife, and you keep derailing.
I'm barren, Jim.
What?
My trouser hives are void of honey. I had Congress with Angela, and the child that she bore did not issue from my loins. Thought I would be a father, and instead I am a eunuch. Neutered by my own building.
Is this about the popcorn or the X on the ceiling?
Dwight, that was a prank.
You mean you flooded my building with dangerous electromagnetic radiation as a prank?
No.
That's genius. That's the best prank you've ever done.
I'll take it.
It's reminiscent, I mean, we've talked about this before, about the friendship between these characters, and we see it here a little bit, right? We finally see Jim kind of being let into what Dwight's been going through, and Jim, to his credit, I think, finally kind of gets the picture that he's kind of stepped over a line here.
Yeah, and throughout this episode too, we've seen Jim be really cold to Dwight. Like, there was a lot more aggression behind Jim's words and his intentions towards Dwight than I think there have been before. Like, you know, a lot of the pranks sometimes it's just like, oh, he's being annoying. You know, it's like a brother relationship or a sibling relationship where they just want to, like, annoy each other but not, like, deeply hurt each other. But mm-hmm. with Jim fighting so hard to make things right for Pam and him seeing Dwight as the one that's stopping that from happening, he was getting way more aggressive than I think he should have. And there was a lot more, venom behind some of his words and some of his intentions that I don't think he actually like really meant it, but it definitely went there and it was pretty harsh.
I think Dwight, to a degree, is sort of just the wrong place, the wrong time. A little bit in this, that Jim's frustration, I think, with his situation kind of spills out on Dwight in an inappropriate way, maybe.
I'm glad they do have this moment up on the bus because Jim does have a chance to reflect and kind of apologize.
Did you ever think that because you own the building, everyone in it, we're all kind of like your children?
You know, there's a phrase about that in German. Bildenkinder, used almost exclusively by childless landlords to console themselves, but now I really understand it.
Well, now you have a bus full of real Bildenkinder.
Bildenkinder.
Okay. And they're all dangerously close to not getting pie. And there's only one guy who can save them. It's not me.
It's kind of like the phrase, like, you capture more flies with honey than vinegar. You know, like, Jim spent the entire episode fighting with Dwight, trying to pressure him to make these decisions and do these things to get to the pies, when really, like, the heart-to-heart talk he has with Dwight and the kind words about, you know, like, doing something nice in friendship for everybody, that's what really ultimately got Dwight to, you know, literally step on the gas and get to the pie shop in time before it closed.
Yeah, which sends everybody flying in their rolly chairs, which is
love
great.
It.
I love the aggressive driving.
Everybody, hang on! Pie! 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 Pie!
We should also mention that at some point they pick up Creed, who is hitchhiking because he's taking a day off work, and he's like, oh, it's you people.
Thanks. Playing a little hooky from work today. Oh my God.
I love that Creed closet moment. I love that Creed is the one who's surprised about who's on the bus. So good.
While all this is going on, we learn that Nellie is still hoping to adopt. This is picking up from one of those previous voicemails that we heard in the end of last season, where she is trying to adopt. And the next step that's required in this process is a letter of recommendation or, sort of character witness letter from her employer. And she has to go to Andy, who is terrible to her, and ask for this. And Andy's a complete jerk about it.
Sure, I'll read her letter. And if she tells the truth about how evil and unfit to be a mother she is, then yeah, I'll sign that.
It's just really childish of him. And as this sort of moves from the office onto the work bus, Erin gets involved. I guess she sees one of the letter or sees one of the forms or something and gets to talking to Nellie about it. And she's going to help. You know, she knows what it's like not to be adopted as a child. And she wants to help Nellie reach this goal and make this happen also for a child. And it's really sweet on Erin's part, but it does put her and Andy on a bit of a collision course because of Andy's actions.
Yeah, Andy again refuses to sign the letter that now at this point Nellie had spent time writing it and handed it over to Andy. And because they're in these close quarters on the work bus, Aaron's able to essentially overhear Andy's cruelty about this. And Erin takes it very personally because Andy's not helping someone through an adoption process. He's being cruel about it. And Erin is someone who just kind of like poured her heart out to Nellie, saying that like she wishes she was able to get adopted. And it like she starts to, she took it very personally. And then there's this, I think they did this really well. There's a moment where we hear crying behind one of like the bus curtains, like a partition like in the bus. And Andy makes another nasty comment about it possibly being Nelly crying. And again, we have Pete there who points out to Andy that isn't Nelly.
British women famously over emotional. Am I right?
I don't think that's Nelly.
What?
Oh no, look, it's all right. Really, it isn't your fault. No, look, you were so kind. And it isn't anything to do with you.
Andy notices it was Aaron who is crying, and it's Nelly comforting her, because Aaron is just so upset by Andy's cruelty around this subject that is really sensitive to her. And he, again, completely, like, did not register anything that, like, the main person that he's, like, dating, his girlfriend, he is not sensitive to anything about her life. Like, again, this is, like, another episode where this is, like, being piled on. We do get at least a little bit of a redeeming moment where Andy does take a step back from his, you know, his cruelty to Nelly and ends up signing the letter and making an adjustment to it.
She's tough in business, but tender with the people she cares about. She'll make a wonderful mother to any child who can overlook weird accents.
It's nice that, like, once they got to the pie stand, there is a reconciliation kind of between Jim and Dwight, and then there's another one between Andy and Nelly a little bit here where he steps back and gives her the letter, even though he makes a comment about her weird accent. But, you know, that's for comedy purposes. I'm glad they put that in there. But yeah, we have, like, these two plot lines that are driven by hurt, especially around, like, fertility and adoption, and everyone's crammed into this bus. I think it's kind of great how they paired these two threads together and, like, the things that a couple of these characters have been dealing with.
Yeah, I do too. I hadn't really considered that pairing before watching it to talk about it today, but I do think it's really interesting how those are put together. And even with Jim and Pam, right? Like, just strife in relationships is the theme in this episode. And overall, I really like the way it's put together. And I like the way that it plays out. I like that we get, you know, not total resolution, right? Like, even though Jim and Pam end in a good place, like with her head on her shoulder eating pie, we know there's probably more stuff to deal with there in that relationship. And it's not over between Nelly and Andy or even Dwight and Jim, but the immediacy of some of these conflicts is all resolved in the half hour. And I think that's good.
We love an episode where everyone goes on a field trip. I mean, that's super fun. The only two that don't make it, though, are Daryl and Clark. They happened to be off of the bus at the time that the bus decided to go on its pie adventure. And they make no effort to catch the bus at all.
No. It's really funny. They're like, oh, no, wait. Oh, no, they're gone.
Stop.
Come back.
Too late.
I want to know what they did during the day. You know, we get one little scene earlier where Daryl wants him to teach him PowerPoint. And I guess he didn't learn when Ryan made everybody learn. Or I guess he was still in the warehouse then, so maybe he was exempt. But
he was told to get out of that meeting, actually.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, so he still wants to learn. He hasn't learned yet. And maybe that's what they did during the day. But yeah, they had a fun day in the office by themselves. Or they just went home.
They probably went home. So that brings us to about the end of the episode. It's pretty compact because they're all on the bus together. There's nowhere else for us to really go. But I'm really glad that they resolved a lot of these tensions that the bus brought out in everybody.
Yeah, me too.
So we'll be back talking about the next episode, season 9, episode 4. Here comes Treble.
Woo!
Oh, no. It's going to be trouble with treble. And until then, you can go and follow us over on Twitter at tall_beats or find us individually at ISMH and at Tiff Arment. Subscribe to become a member over at The Incomparable and get fun goodies at the end of the year, access to our members only bonus feed, and you can join us in the conference room, our members only Slack.
Well, Tiff, I think that does it. Next time, we're going to be recording on a bus. So get ready.
Oh no.
But there's pie at the end of it.
If there's pie, I'm so there.
Shibuya roll call. Shibuya, yeah, yeah. Shibuya roll call.
My name is Pam.
Yeah.
I like to paint.
Yeah.
You think you're better?
Yeah.
Oh, no, you ain't.
Roll call. Shibuya, yeah, yeah. Shibuya roll call. Shibuya, yeah, yeah. Shibuya roll call.
My name is Kevin.
Yeah.
That is my name.
Yeah.
They call me Kevin.
Yeah.
Because that's my name.
Roll call. Shibuya, yeah, yeah. Shibuya roll call. Shibuya, yeah, yeah. Shibuya roll call.